Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are. This is Susan, and this is where Genealogy and Spirit connect. You're probably doing what I'm doing, and that is sitting watching this memorial service, which really is very, very sad, I think, for all of us. But it proves a point that I've been talking about for many, many months now, is that birth is a beginning, death is a destination, and life is a journey. And, you know, as we all know, Michael Jackson led a very interesting journey. And, you know, genealogy is really the study of us, the study of self, and the study of the people that came before us. And I guess many, many years from now, people are going to be looking into the genealogy of Michael Jackson. And that brings me to introduction of my guest. We have Suzanne Russo Adams, who is with Ancestry.com, and they're one of the premier sites for those who are interested in researching their ancestry. And it's very interesting because, you know, at some point in all of our lives, whether we get into it as a full-fledged project or we get into it as we're trying to find a little detail of information about a particular person or ancestor, this is probably the place that you will end up at some point or another. Suzanne's been with Ancestry.com for over 10 years. She's currently the Society Partnership Manager for Ancestry. And I'd like to welcome her to the show. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks, Susan. It's good to be here.
Well, good. You're going to probably not, well, I'm going to be kind of cute, maybe. But I saw that you all changed your name yesterday to what we all thought it was.
Yeah, the official company name is now Ancestry.com, and in fact, when I started there about 10 years ago, that's what it was, but it's kind of evolved over time, as many things do, and we're back to our core roots, which is Ancestry.com.
Yeah, I had to laugh because, you know, I think we all just refer to you as Ancestry.com, even though you all didn't refer to yourself as Ancestry.com.
Yeah, so, it's the most recognizable thing, so it's kind of neat, like I said, to get back to our own roots.
Yeah, that's great. Before we get started into your particular project, you want to talk a little bit about the new things that are going on at Ancestry.com?
There are always lots of great things happening at Ancestry.com. The most recent is we changed our name back to Ancestry.com. And if you go to the Ancestry.com website, there's a spot right on the homepage that always talks about what's new. We're constantly adding new content to the website. I think that's what's important because, you know, most people come to Ancestry.com to research their family roots, and so we're adding more historical records, more genealogical records, weekly, if not daily, sometimes adding lots of records, lots of neat things happening with our family trees. What I love about the online family trees or the ancestry trees is that you put your information in, and then our search engine will actually go out and search our collections and give you little hints, what we call an ancestry hint, and it comes up in the form of a little leaf that shakes at you. And that's pretty neat. We've recently revamped those trees so they're a little bit easier to use and things like that. So that's something new as well. And then, of course, the project that we're going to be talking about today, the Ancestry World Archives Project, is pretty new. It's been around for about a year, but it's only been out of beta for since probably the beginning of this year. And I mean, I could go on and on about all the new things that are happening, but one that I think is sort of fun is in the last year or so we've started to do web seminars, and so we'll get on there and we'll talk about not only the features of Ancestry.com or Family Tree Maker, which also is a software that belongs to the Ancestry.com company, but we'll get on there and talk about, you know, how to do Italian research, which is near and dear to my heart, or how to do German research, or, you know, introductions to different types of research, different types of records, and that sort of thing. And that's in our learning center, so that's pretty neat as well.
Cool. I have not attended one of those, but for those, you know, for people who are really just getting involved, you know, Ancestry.com has enough tools available for not only those who are just trying to get started, but for those of us who've been doing this for, I guess, before there was an Ancestry.com.
Right, right. And the great thing about these web seminars, too, is that they're free. You know, Ancestry.com is a pay service, but there's lots of stuff you can get on there and do for free, and you can go on there and create a family tree, and these web seminars are free as well. You just simply, you know, put your name and your email address in there and register, and you can get on there. And we've got them all archived back to when we started doing them. They really are neat. They're great.
That's super. And I know that you know, it's hard to find a place to really find information to, you know, really help you get started. And it really varies because of the different ethnicities and religions and those kinds of things that, you know, research is always quite different. And you also do DNA testing, I see, and...
We do have a DNA service, and it's a wonderful service, and we're building a database so that you can connect with others who have the same or similar DNA results, and it's a good complement to what we do with research in our family trees and the records. So it's a great.
And I think the latest venture too is your Expert Connect program.
Mm-hmm. Correct. We do also, we're also offering our members the ability to connect with those who do professional genealogy. So if you hit a brick wall or something like that, or you feel like you want to hire an expert in a certain area, you can do that. And part of that Ancestry Expert Connect is also the ability to, you know, say you want a picture of Grandpa's headstone, but you live, you know, five states away, you can hire somebody to go out and take a picture. So it's as small as being able to take a picture or have somebody go and pick up a vital record from a vital record office that you don't live near, to having somebody really delve deep into your family history and help you to break some of those brick walls and go farther back.
You know, it's amazing, Suzanne, and I don't know how long you've been in the genealogy community, but I remember back, and you know, Myra Gormley and I took a walk down memory lane. I think it was my second show, where, you know, we used to meet in Salt Lake City once or twice a year, and you know, our eyes would go cross-eyed looking at you know, the microfilms at the Mormon Library and the Family History Center there, and you know, our arms would ache after, you know, three or four days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was such a laborious process. And, you know, what has happened with the Internet and with companies like Ancestry.com is really an explosion of information that really can help. And not only the data that you have, but the education, the connecting with other people, the connections with potential family members. I mean, you know, we have, it's just mind-boggling when you look at what we have available to us today and what we had available to us 20 years ago. So
I absolutely agree. I started before Ancestry.com was and before the Internet was, as far, you know, as far as records are concerned, so I can relate to the cranking through microfilm. And in fact, I do personally a lot of Italian research, so there's not much on the Internet yet for Italian, but, you know, we're getting more and more. So I still have to do a lot of hand cranking through microfilm to do my research. So I can completely relate with that, but you're right, Ancestry.com and, you know, has done so much, I think, for being able to put these historical records up online. We've got over 240 million images of actual historical documents online, and just a huge community. What I love about it is just a huge community of people who are collaborating to research and research their family trees. So it's a wonderful place to be. We've got, you know, millions of family trees up there that you know, you can start your own family tree and then be able to connect to another person that's doing their family history too, and collaborate with them. So it's a neat neat experience.
It really is. And, you know, I think I remember when you guys first came online, and, you know, everything's grown up, you know, over the last, 10, 15 years, I would say. And today it's just an explosion of information. And, you know, one of the things that's really near and dear to my heart is the project that you're working on, and that's why I asked you to be my guest, is because, you know, one of the things that I have been involved in for many, many years is, you know, getting a hold of records and getting volunteers to help, you know, get the records indexed and digitized so that they're available to more and more people. Because, you know, I'm sure, and you can probably vouch for this, is there's a lot of information out there that's, you know, you really just can't buy. But the information is so important to people's research. And, you know, having been involved in working with, you know, thousands of volunteers and, you know, digitizing and indexing millions and millions of records, this is something that is, I think, is probably the most important thing. And, you know, what I want to do, too, is, you know, a lot of people have said, and I'm sure you've heard this a lot, so let's get it out on the table up front, is that, you know, Ancestry is a fee-for-service in most cases, while there's a lot of things that are for free. And people say, well, how can you go in and volunteer your time to do, you know, records that are going to appear on Ancestry, and they get paid for it? And that's not true, right?
Right, right. No, what we're talking about is the Ancestry World Archives Project.
Right.
It's an online community program that allows everyone the opportunity to help bring free historical collections to the public. So it's a collaborative effort involving, you know, thousands of people around the world who are keying information found on those original historical records, you know, at their convenience using their personal computer. And then the data that's entered by the contributors is used to create, you know, an index for the collection. So what we're really driving at is being able to bring more historical records online. And, and you know, all the indexes created by the project contributors are posted on Ancestry.com and available for free for everyone to view. So we're really creating some great finding aids, like you were saying before. You know, there are lots and lots of historical documents out there that just aren't readily accessible. And so what we're trying to do is bring some of those records. This is also preservation, too. We've got... in this project, we've got, you know, records from the United States, but we've also got records from England and Sweden and Germany and Italy, and, you know, all parts of the world where, you know, some of these record collections were really in dire need of being preserved. So it's bringing those collections to light. It's creating a finding aid or an index, and allowing, you know, contributors to be able to do that, and then they are free. Currently, we have 20,000 plus contributors in the year or so or less that they've been keying, we've been able to key nearly 5 million records. So we think that's pretty great.
That is great.
It's neat to be able to see that much more coming online, and we're honored and pleased that we're able to offer those indexes for free.
And, you know, I think it's so very important, and one of the reasons that I wanted to discuss this is I really think it's important for everybody, whether you're interested in genealogy as a full-fledged hobby or just interested in, you know, little bits of information, is that it is something that we can all do as far as preservation of history. And that is really what is so important. Because, yeah, there is so much that a company can do, and there is so much, you know, more that we as individuals can do if we collectively put our heads to it. I mean, I think even our new president, you know, made a call for action. And every little thing that we do, whether it's, you know, putting in 100 records or, you know, doing something that contributes to the whole for the future, I think is so very, very important. And so let's talk about some of the projects that you have. I know I've done a few myself. It's been a while, but I did get online and you know, did some. And let's talk about some of the projects that you all are currently working on. And
yeah, there's lots of projects out there, and so hopefully there would be some that all the listeners would be interested in. But we've got naturalization originals, naturalization indexes. One of the passenger and crew lists. We've got vital records for, I mentioned some of those countries. We've got vital records for Italy, you know, some marriage and death records. We also have some city directories, which are a lot of fun for people to index. Some early London, England parish records, which I think are pretty neat too. And then one of the big projects that we're launching are U.S. military outposts, and we're doing this in conjunction with the Federation of Genealogical Societies. They're the main sponsor for this project, but it's really a huge project, and it's nationwide and beyond because, you know, they're for military outposts between 1800 and 1916. And so if you have anybody that served in the military, chances are, you know, they might be in these records, and they're a collection that has never previously been indexed and isn't real accessible to people. And so we think it's a great project to have up on the website. And I think military records are always pretty interesting. So that's one we're excited about. And I should also mention that for a lot of these projects, we've been partnering with societies, and that's part of what I'm privileged to do is to work with genealogical and historical societies and other types of societies to be able to partner with them to bring these records online. So it's really, really a neat project and a neat honor to be able to work with these societies to do that.
I bet. And it's also, I think, an honor for people who are interested in genealogy to be involved in the preservation process. You know, I don't know if you've had any instances, but I know that when, you know, we were getting volunteers when I was with Jewish Gen, you know, to work on projects, so many people would come to us and say, gosh, you know, I was doing these records and I actually found my family. And
it's amazing,
you know,
yeah. That's pretty neat.
It is neat because, you know, had they not volunteered to do the work, you know, the work A may never have gotten done. B, you know, they may have had to wait years, if not longer, before they had access to some of the records to even you know, see if their family was there. So I always found that to be a really, really exciting thing. So, you know, there's some benefit in this, not only for the time that the people, you know, donate to the process, but, you know, there's, depending upon what collection they choose to work on, or multiple collections, the way I see it, you know, there's no telling, you know, what you might find. It's really interesting. You want to talk a little bit about how the process works on the software?
Yeah, absolutely. So the basic process is that Ancestry.com locates and scan historical records, and then those that want to participate or contribute can download a free program, and then you type in the facts from those scanned records to create an index. We then post the indexes that the contributors have helped create onto Ancestry.com, and then, again, those indexes will always be free to the public. And then Ancestry.com, we also donate copies of those record indexes and images from the project to partnering government archives or societies that have worked with us. But anyone can participate. You don't have to have advanced knowledge of genealogy. You know, we've got projects that are fairly easy that go to advance, and so anyone can participate. Some images, you know, can be keyed in as little as 15 minutes, so there's not a significant time contribution that you have to make to it. You know, you get in there and you download what we call an image set, and like I said, some of those can be keyed in as little as 15 minutes, and then it's sent back via the internet, you know, to us. And I should also mention what's interesting, because a lot of people ask this, you know, how's the quality and that sort of thing. What we do is it's an A-B keying process, and then we do have an arbitrator. So three sets of eyes essentially look at it. If there's a discrepancy between the first person that keys the records and the second person that keys the record, there's a third person that actually looks at those. So it's a pretty extensive process, but it's a pretty neat process, I think.
From what I saw, it was very well developed. How long is it between the time that someone might key the records into the time they may show up online? Is it you don't wait till the whole thing is
that's
done?
That's a great question. What I really love about this is that you can get on to the Ancestry.com, go to Ancestry.com/World Archives project, and on there you can actually see all of the active projects, and you can see there's a bar that shows you the project progress. So, there are some collections that are fairly large in size that have been, slowly going on for a few months now. And there are some small ones that we've been able to do really quick. And as an example, we had up there Gretna Green marriages from Scotland. Sort of the Las Vegas of Scotland. And literally, when we came across these records, they were crumpled up. And it took us, I think, 6 months to flatten the records, 2 weeks to image the records, and then literally 2 weeks to index those records. So they were up there, and they were popular, and they got indexed pretty fast. And so it just is going to depend on the size of the project. But again, what I love is that you can actually see how the progress of the project right there on the website. It has a little tick percentage mark. It shows you, for example, Southern California Naturalization Index is one project, and they're 61% complete. So you can get on there and see that. And then down below that, you can see which projects are currently unavailable because they've been finished or which ones are in process. And I think we've got about 10 or so that are in process to go live onto the website.
So when people are working on these projects, do you wait till the all the keying is totally complete before you put them online, or do you put them online in waves?
Some of our projects, that's a great question. We generally wait until they're completely keyed, and then we have a back-end process, some back-end quality checks that we do, and then it's processed and put up online. But there are some of the collections that we're doing that they're actually up on Ancestry.com image only, is what we call it. And so the entire collection is already up on Ancestry.com, but just the images. And so until we get an index that's created that can help somebody to search it a little bit better, they're up there image only. And that's just a few of the projects. Not all of them are that way. Most of them, you've got to wait till it's completely keyed and then it gets posted online. But there are some where we've already got all of the images up there, and it's just slowly progressing with the keying. So they can be searched. It's just there's no index yet.
So
that's why the index is so important, because it makes it a lot easier to key, or it makes it a lot easier to search.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, some of these older census records, I think before you all got a hold of them, didn't have indexes, and what, before 1880, around 1850, 60, and 70. And so, it was almost, you just had to know where they lived and what districts and, it was a mess to go try to find.
You had to do a page-by-page search. And
yes.
So that's why these indexes are just so important, to be able to find the record easier.
It really is. And I think the other thing too is the soundexing process that you use. That, you might get some false positives or false negatives when you do a search, but in the whole, you rather get everything rather than partial, because a lot of the data, I know I've made so many corrections as I've progressed through my research on the site. Names were misspelled, and some were very easy, came up very quickly, even though the names, the spellings and everything were wrong. And there were some that, I actually found by accident that once I was able to change make the changes, then it made it easier for everybody else that comes after me to find those records. And that I think is a really interesting tool too that you have. And I guess what I need to explain that a little further there, Ancestry.com has a mechanism in place that when you find a record, and if it's not the same as what you think it is, you have an opportunity to make changes to that record so that when the record is searched, it will be searched as it was originally indexed, and then it will also be portrayed as indexed with the changes. So
right.
It makes it a whole lot easier to find things. And the other thing, too, that I want to point out, too, while we're here, I do use Family Tree Maker, and one of the things that I've had to suffer through, probably more so than those who are just starting out, is I had a 27-year-old database, and it went through many iterations of software programs over the 20-some-odd years.
Mm-hmm.
I have file cabinets full of census records that I pulled off of microfilm. And somewhere along the process, all my sources got disjointed from my peoples. And, it's been really fun to be able to go back and start rejoining those things and having it, so nicely put the source documentation into the records. And as I'm doing this, I'm beginning to empty out a ton of file cabinets. So, that is also another beautiful feature that you have is the being able to source everything out. Because if you don't source everything out 27 years from now, as I've seen, you don't know where your information came from. And especially if you did source it and it's been disjointed through iterations of software. So, it really has been a phenomenal process of what you all have done over the last few years to make the whole process of doing research and recording what you've done just so easy and so simple.
Go ahead.
That's okay.
I was just going to say, because we've got lots of records up there, but we're also trying to, like you said, provide great ways to be able to share and collaborate with others, be able to share the information, whether it be on our online trees or in Family Tree Maker, to be able to have that information and the history of your family, the story of your family, there and available for those generations that come after us.
And also, too, for those who may not want to get involved in buying software at this early stage, you do have a mechanism in place where you can actually enter your data right there online, correct?
Right, and that's what I was referring to earlier, the online family tree. So you can get on there and enter the information, and it will, again, search our website and hint at you and say, we found a 1910 census record. Is this the right one? And you can then, what I love about the online trees, and you can do this in Family Tree Maker too, is that you can attach that record to your tree, so you don't, and it automatically sources it for you, so you don't have to figure out how you found that record. Again, it's sourced in your tree, and it's right there and accessible for you. And you can go in there and print it out and do all sorts of things with it. And then the other thing I should mention is with these online family trees, you have the ability to take all the information that you've found on Ancestry.com and learned from other family members and publish a book or a wall chart or there's all sorts of things that you can do, and that's the My Canvas publishing service that we have as well. You can either print it at home on your home computer, or you can have it, sent off to be professionally bound, leather bound and that sort of thing. And I did one for my sister, and they don't have to be just the four generation books,
mm-hmm.
history books. One project that I still am intending to do is my sister inherited from my grandmother, who has since passed away, a set of her recipe cards, handwritten in her writing, and I would love to be able to scan those and create a heritage recipe book. And there are a lot of great Italian recipes that have been passed down for generations that she wrote out on those cards. So that's one thing that I would love to be able to do with this publishing service.
That is really cool, because I hate to tell you this, but I have found a recipe program, and I've been setting one up on my site. It's not live yet. Because I really believe there is, you know, some value and some interest in, you know, where some of these recipes came from. I know that there are some that nobody has ever seen before, has never made. And I'm not a great cook, but there are a couple of them that I just love. I know they came out of Germany. I know it's not something that you would find in any cookbook. And I just think, you know, some of this stuff is just, you know, really amazing. And we seem to be losing a lot of that, too, as you know, we get into the whole fast food marketplace, is that some of the things, and especially the ethnic and foods, I think are just, so interesting as far as, what is prepared and how things are prepared. And,
right.
It really is. So, I've been working on that because I just thought it would be kind of a fun adjunct to share.
And that's what I love about the My Canvas, publishing on Ancestry.com, is that you can do all sorts of things like that. You can do a picture book, or you can do the recipes, and
right.
It's all about me preserving, your family history in some way or another. You know, whether it be the, like I said, the four generation chart with the sources and all that. Or whether it be a picture book of your child, or a picture book of grandma that you pass on to your children.
And so, it is. I mean, I have, and I'm sure a lot of people do. And at some point, we've got to fix this. But I have got boxes of pictures that I brought out of my father's house after he passed away. And unfortunately, they're still in boxes. And unfortunately, going through them one quick time, they're not marked. And I have no clue who they are. And, it is so important that these things be preserved. I mean, what's the point in having this stuff? I mean, I have pictures probably taken back in the 1870s. I don't know who they were.
Right. And you know what's amazing about Ancestry.com is in those family trees online, I know I keep talking about those, but you can put pictures up there, and like I said, you can collaborate, and there's millions and millions of pictures that have been put up there in public trees on Ancestry.com. So you can go out and search those trees and look at those pictures, and I've heard countless stories of people that have found pictures of an ancestor that they never even knew existed because another family member, it was passed down through another family line, and then they've been able to connect and share those pictures, and it's just an amazing story.
Really is. And, one of the things that I see, and I for the people who are listening, is, when some of the things that I see on this Expert Connect program, too, is, we get so wrapped up in researching our direct lines, and we get stuck. And for whatever reason, I have found that, when you get stuck on one line, you just have to keep going, and you have to, go back and then down and across and over. And, it's amazing what the information you'll find. For example, I never knew where my father's father came from, and my father didn't know, his direct immediate family didn't know, and when I first started my research, I ended up with my great-grandfather's brother, and I found his daughter's birth record, and it told me where the family came from.
Amazing.
So you may never find it in your immediate family. So it is so important, and that's what, I see these people that are trying to, find one thing, and sometimes you have to go, many different directions to find this thing. It may not be, in a direct line at all.
Right.
And I have found other situations, too, where I have, second and third cousins and information was passed on to them that was never passed on to us.
Right,
and so connecting with those family members that, you know, you may never have connected with before is just as critical. So, you know, the process of doing genealogy is a multifaceted thing, I think, as we've discussed. It's you know, putting the data in, it's looking for records, it's participating in, you know, in documenting and preserving history by helping preserve records that may be in areas of interest to you. It's in not only searching your direct lines, but going across and down as far as you need to go to find information that may take you back to your direct line. And it is, you know, a lot of times you're doing your genealogy without actually doing your genealogy. You're thinking about it, and, you know, you're thinking to yourself, you know, now how in the world am I going to find this person? And, you know, where do I look? And then you might go away and do a couple other things, and then bingo, you said, I'm going to go check that. And there it is. So, you know, it's sometimes it's an intuitive hunch, as I say, that, you know, you may have to walk away from it for a little bit and then, you know, come back. So, you know, when people are first starting out in genealogy, I think that they get stuck on one track. And, you know, that's what I try to tell people is, you know, just branch out. And you may think that you're on a wild goose chase and that's not the information that you really want to find. But by doing it, you will find the information you really want to find. It's very interesting.
And one thing that I love about family history and being involved in family history and genealogy is the ability to collaborate with others. Because, you know, if I get stuck on something, I can ask a friend or like I said, on Ancestry.com, there are millions of people that come who have built trees. We get nearly 10 million unique visitors a month to Ancestry.com. So that's, you know, millions of potential for millions of connections with those second and third cousins that you may not know that may have that answer to that question that you have in your mind, or that the answer to, you know, where great-grandpa was born or where he came from. You know, did he come from Germany or Russia or some other, you know, place? So there's I love that ability to be able to collaborate with others and to learn from others.
And it is so very important because, you know, by finding a tree, and I've had this happen to me, is that I have found many trees on Ancestry that have one branch in my family, perhaps, that has information on that branch that I would never have. And it's really is exciting. I mean, there's nothing better than, you know, for those, you know, when you're into the field of genealogy, than that find. I mean, that find is just, you know, an incredible high. I don't know why we get off to it like that, but we do. And it's just, you know, becomes very, very important because, you know, when you find information on someone in your tree, you know, they become alive to you, in my opinion. And it becomes really more than you know, a date and a person and a place. It really helps you at that point begin to, you know, sense and feel who they were and where they were and what they were doing, you know, at different phases of their lifetimes. And it really allows you to paint a picture that you would not normally get to do about an ancestor. And even those that are the skeletons in the closets, too. It's pretty interesting. And there was one other thing, too.
In fact, what's interesting with this Ancestry World Archives project is that some of our most popular collections that have been keyed are criminal registers. Because people like to find those skeletons in the closet. Some do, some don't. But you know, we've had a few of those types of collections in the project, and the criminal registers are pretty interesting to people. So
now, if I was an individual, if I was an individual, and I wanted to participate in the World Archives project, the best thing would be for me to go online to www.
Right,
Ancestry.com,
and you can either click on the collaborate link or the top of the page. There's a tab called collaborate, and there's a drop down menu that'll say Ancestry World Archives Project, or you can go to ancestry.com/World Archives Project, and that's all one word. And you'll go there, and you there'll be a link that says register. You click on that, you'll be able to put in, you know, some information. And if you belong to a genealogy society, put that society in. And if you belong to a society that is interested in participating in sponsoring a project, absolutely email me. You can email me at societies@ancestry.com, and I'd love to talk to you about being able to sponsor a project. Because one of the great things about sponsoring a project, as I mentioned before, is that the archive or the society that does that will get a copy of the indexes and the images back for the use of their society. So it's really great. But you go on there, register, and download the software. It downloads to your computer, and then you can open that up and download an image set, be able to key those records, and then it'll, you know, get sent back to us. So that's the easiest way to do it, is go to ancestry.com/World Archives Project.
And you can then take a look at whatever is out there and pick one or two or more.
Yeah, and then choose which project you're interested in working on, and you're not stuck with one project. You can, you know, download one image set from one project, work on that, and then, you know, go and do another one and that sort of thing. The other fun thing that I love about this is that, you know, once you've got your login, you can see, it kind of gives you on the web page a stats area that says, you know, how many records you've keyed, what percent accuracy you have. And in fact, if you're an active keyer, which means that you key 900 records in a quarter, you are eligible for a discount to Ancestry.com on your subscription.
Wow.
So, that's kind of a great perk, is if you key 900 records in a quarter, you can get a discount to your Ancestry.com subscription.
Right. And also, too, when you go to the website, the dashboard pretty much gives you an indication of, you know, what the difficulty of the records are, so that, you know, if you feel like doing some really simple, easy stuff while you're watching TV or something else like that, you know,
right,
that you can pick those records, and then there are some that are a little bit more advanced and require a lot more focus. And
there's help for things too. If you're keying a difficult record set, or you've got questions, we've got message boards where lots of people are active on those message boards and collaborating with one another to be able to key the records better. And then we've also got a blog and a newsletter that give you lots of tips. And I mentioned earlier on the web seminars. We've done lots of web seminars that center on, you know, handwriting and how to read handwriting, because that can be a bit of a challenge. But there, like you said, there's some easy, there's some average or advanced. But it's really a lot of fun to key these records. It kind of becomes a little bit addictive.
Yeah, I know. Been there, done that. I've done my share over these last many, many years. And the other thing, too, is, you know, when you go online and you look at these projects, you know, you might want to kind of go for the ones, if they have any interest, that are nearly complete, so that they can be completed and get online, and then start working on those that, you know, are not as near completion. Looking here at the Sydney and New South Wales index is 98% complete.
Right, and so we've just got a little push, and then we're to the end with that.
Right.
One. So, yeah. So there's lots of ways that you can, you know, choose a project, one that interests you, or trying to, you know, push one over the edge to get it done. But yeah, and you can, like you said, work on, you know, multiple projects that may interest you.
Yeah. So so far you have about 20,000 volunteers, and what is your goal?
Oh, we would love to have as many as we can get to be able to key these key these records, because the more people that participate, the more historical records we're able to get on online, and then the higher likelihood you have of being able to find your ancestor in a record that's just never been accessible before or never been indexed. And, you know, we've asked some of our contributors why they participate in the World Archives Project, and there's a variety of reasons that they give. It's a great way to give back to the family history community because they've been helped so much by, you know, another indexing project that has taken place. And then it allows them to help other family historians find their ancestors and discover more about their families. So even if we don't have a record set right now for where your ancestor is from, you know, if you feel the need and want to, we would love to have you help somebody else with their family history. And then I mentioned this before, but it's a great way to help preserve historical records that may not otherwise have come to light.
Correct. And so, you know, let's just say that where do people dig up these records from? And where would you, I mean, are there any copyright issues that you all have to deal with before you take the project on? Let's head down that direction.
I'm part of the content team, and we work with archives and repositories across the United States and across the world in order to be able to put these images up online. So anything that we've got up online, absolutely, is, you know, copyright clear and all that sort of thing. But yeah, it takes a good amount of time to be able to go to libraries and archives and be able to access this information and then put it up online.
So if I was a member of a society or some sort of group or even some sort of membership organization that may have some records that they may, do you take like donations of records or?
Yeah, we absolutely would do that. And we love to work with societies and other archives to be able to scan the records and then put them up online. So absolutely, like I mentioned before, societies at ancestry.com, if your group has records that you're interested in working on. And that's part of the benefits of participating is that contributors will be able to vote on which record projects they want to index next. That's going to be coming up. And part of that is, you know, partnering with societies to be able to index records. Currently, most all of the projects that we have are what we call open projects, but we have the ability to create a closed project. So if a specific society just wants their members to work on a specific record collection, we have that ability too. But it's also great to be able to have all of these records open to the public in order to have the community key them as well. But there are those options. So yes, we would love to work with societies and other repositories to find out about collections and have them scanned and indexed through the project.
Right. So one of the services you provide is the scanning service for the records. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have multiple scanning operations throughout the world, and, you know, throughout the U.S. and the world, and at our facility, our main facility in Provo, Utah, we do 24/7. I don't know if it's 24/7, but it's pretty close to 24/7 scanning.
So the benefit to an institution or an archive and or society that has records that they can't afford to, you know, digitize an index, that by bringing them to you all as part of the World Archives Project would indeed provide them with access to the images and access to an index, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, correct.
So, well, you know, the benefits, I mean, so if you really look at it, the benefits are, you know, huge for everybody concerned. They're huge for researchers because here is an enormous amount of data that's provided online free of charge. It benefits societies and archival institutions because it provides them with copies of the records, and digital copies of the records, so that helps preserve the these paper copies that, as we all know, can get pretty weirded out, and then in some situations they get burned up in fires, and
right.
you can just get sick over the loss of information. And then, so it's a win-win-win-win, as I see it.
It really is. I think it's a great, great project.
Well, we have a few more minutes left. I'm going to give out a number in case there's anybody out there that's not watching the Michael Jackson Memorial Service. But the call-in number is 888-815-9756 if you have a question for Suzanne. In the meantime, we're going to just keep on talking because... we don't seem to have a problem with that. So, I don't.
I don't either.
Going back to, the projects. When these projects are done, at the end of the day, when you did a search, whether it's paid for, whether you have a fee-based subscription or you don't, you would do a search and it would come up and it would show you, that they have found, that there's a record under this name, and it would show you the image. So if it's a naturalization record, it might have a signature. It might show where they came from. Wouldn't that be delightful? So it's not just Russia, which
right.
was in some
right.
periods of time, this huge expanse of area that makes up
hopefully you'd find a record that says a name of a town.
Well, I've got my naturalization record did, and it's Gordok, and there are 11 of them.
Wow.
And there are 11 of them.
That narrows it down a little bit, though.
Yes, and I have been to 3 of them. But they weren't the right ones. So I guess I've got a few more trips to make. But in any event, you will get a town name in some cases. And, that may be the only lead that you have. And, when you go into Eastern Europe, Gordok means a small town in Russian. Wonderful. But you never know. So you would see the record, and you can then print off a copy of the record. You can email it. You can share it with other people. You can add it to your family tree if you've built one online. So, the benefits are just unbelievable.
They really are. It's great to be able to have more of these records online. And like I said before, to allow people to be able to have a better opportunity to find their ancestor in one of these record collections. I should also mention that the indexes for the project are free, but the images will be behind a paid wall unless you're a participant in the project. If you're an active participant in the project, you'd be able to see all of the records all of the indexes and the images for the project. And of course, like I mentioned before, societies or sponsoring societies get a copy of the indexes and the images back, and then they can use those for the benefit of their members. So it's pretty neat to be able to see all these records go up online and to have the opportunity to participate in such a great project.
Right. Now, did we discuss this, but based on the amount of projects that are working, how many millions of records are being worked on at this moment?
I don't know how many are being worked on this moment, but we do have 5 million records that have been keyed in the last several months to a year, so that is pretty impressive.
That's interesting. Yeah, I have my stats are up here. I've it's pitiful. I've keyed in 89. I worked hard for a day or two.
You're contributing something. Yeah, you're contributing something. So that's That's what's important.
Yeah, well, I know I spent a couple of days doing a few. And there were some that I did that were not so easy, and I don't know, I don't know what my accuracy rate was, but I was nervous about that. So it was some of these that I think they were advanced, and I kind of ran through and I did some easy ones, I did some average ones, and I did some advanced ones just to get a handle on, you know, the different types. And, you know, the beauty of this is that there are about maybe 10 records maybe per download. I mean, it's not a whole lot. So, I mean, you know, in some cases you can probably finish, you know, a download in a few minutes.
Right,
so,
right, a few
you
minutes.
Know, if you,
I mean, we say as little as 15 minutes, and so, like you said, you can do it while you're watching TV. You can, you know, at any point. You can actually download the images to your computer and use the keying software. And you know, if you're on the road or something like that, you can do that. And then when you connect back to the internet, it'll upload what you've done back, via the internet.
Right.
So in some instances, you don't even have to be connected to the internet in order to be able to do the keying.
Yeah, because what I liked about it is that, you know, sometimes you start projects and they become unwieldy. You know, when you get millions of records and you start, you know, divvying them up. And what I really liked about the way that y'all were doing this is that when you signed up and you went and got a batch of records, it was, you know, something that you could complete fairly quickly. And you could then choose to say, I don't like that data set, that's too complicated for me, or whatever, and you can
or download another one. And then the other thing is, if you're not able to complete it just in one sitting, you can save it and come back to it later. You know, now, and I don't know the exact length of time, but if you don't come back to it within a week or two, it will just automatically send it back for somebody else to, you know, just to kind of keep the project moving along. But you're right, you can download an image set, and if it's might be a little bit too difficult, you know, you can send it back and that sort of thing and give somebody else a chance to be able to work on it. But, you know, a lot of these are pretty easy. And I'll tell you, doing it, you know, I've done quite a bit of it, it gives me a great appreciation for, you know, not only the people that created the records and, you know, wrote them down, but also a great appreciation for, you know, others who have indexed, you know, a lot of the great collections that we have as genealogists. And so, you know, it gives me a great appreciation for the handwriting and that sort of thing.
Well, I really do think it's a wonderful project. And, you know, for all those people that are out there that are into genealogy, you know, it's something everybody really needs to look into doing. And like we're saying, I mean, it's not like you have to give hours and hours and hours of your time. I mean, if a lot of people, you know, if they've got 20,000 people and we can get 100,000 people that do a little bit and, you know, less, you know, and don't have to do that much, there's still a lot of information that can be made available and preserved for future generations, because that's really what, you know, sites like Ancestry.com are really about. It's not only to assist those who are interested in finding their families, it's really also, you know, very important to the preservation of history for all ethnic groups, for all peoples, for all countries, and, you know, a couple hundred years from now is going to be very important, in my opinion. Suzanne, I think our time is up, believe it or not. Can you believe that?
Wow, that went fast.
It did go fast. It went really fast. In any event, you can reach Suzanne by writing to societies@ancestry.com, correct?
Right, correct.
And you can connect to the World Archives Project by going to www.ancestry.com/worldarchives, correct?
World Archives Project.
Project. There we go. And in any event, we thank you for being here. We hope the information has been beneficial. We hope everybody will go and, get involved in the project. Next week I have a very exciting guest. Her name is Denise Lynn, and she is probably America's best-kept secret. She's traveled all over the world speaking to standing-room audiences on soul coaching and reincarnation and walking and connecting with ancestors and clearing blockages. So I've had the opportunity to work with her a little bit, and you're going to find this show pretty amazing. In any event, my name is Susan King. This is Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. My website is www.susaneking.com.